FM K1, and it is 9:30 on a Friday morning. It gives me to welcome our legislative team in for Capitol Call. Mr. Sears is absent this morning, but I do have Senator Daniels and Representative Dunlap with us this morning. And I mentioned to you in the hallway, Senator, but again, thank you for calling in yesterday morning during 7 o'clock news and talking about the late night Wednesday night vote. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you, Charlie. Yes. We had a very late night Wednesday night. I believe Representative Dunlap is over here stretching. They had a late night last night. Two things that made for such late hours this week is this is deadline week. So we're hearing all of the Senate bills. They had to be finished by the end of this week or they couldn't go forward. So we were hearing dozens of bills each day and taking breaks while they revised the agenda to put more bills on our desk. And then we were caucusing to speak about a way forward with a teacher pay raise. And of course on Wednesday in the Senate we fell two votes short of sending a tax increase bill and a teacher pay raise bill and a restoration of the earned income tax credit bill over to the House. And since one of these does raise taxes, it needed the three-quarters vote. Mm-hmm. And it fell two votes short. None of our Democrat colleagues would join us in this. And, of course, if we had sent it to the House, they would have had to vote on it and send it back to us because a tax increase must start in the House. So this was the Senate's way of saying, here we believe is a reasonable plan, and if we could have got it over there, it could have been a subject for discussion. I'm sure everybody knows by now it was a 12.7% increase in the minimum salary schedule. And then it was an increase in cigarette tax, tobacco taxes to $1, fuel to 6 cents, and gross production tax 4% on all wells. And that would have been a little over $413 million. And then state employees would have received $2,500 as well. That bill wasn't written that night, but that was the commitment to use the tax dollars in that manner. And then some of those tax dollars would have paid for the restoration of that earned income tax credit, whereby low and moderate income people, if they have a tax credit, there's a refundability portion of it. You actually write a check to low and moderate income people for the credit. Mm-hmm. That they had. I'm not very good at explaining that.
Somewhat similar to the federal IRS earned income tax
That's
credit,
right.
Which also is a refundable tax
That's
credit.
That's right. So yeah. we were going to restore that. That was very important to our Democrat colleagues to restore that. And that's a cost of about $27 million. But anyway, it is a new day today. This is the way the legislature works. You have to put up trial balloons. You have to see how high they can rise. You have to go back and talk again, well, maybe this piece, maybe that piece. Through all of this, the economy continues to improve, and I'm going to hand it over to Representative Dunlap one last thing. We're voting on and passing an increasing number of spending reform bills. Now, they have the title off, which means we're still working on them, and they may not see the light of day. But after Wednesday night's vote, and we kept the vote open for an hour, so my colleagues and I had a lot of time to just talk with each other on the floor, and the sense was the frustration at not seeing any of the Democrats come and join us to give the educators a pay raise, that reform now is very, very, very important to all of us. And so we're advancing more of those, and that is real money when you make those savings that can be applied elsewhere. And I won't go through the whole list, but it's a good list of reforms, ideas that last year people would have said, oh, we really don't want to think about that. That's really one step too far. They are being passed off the floor and kept alive. So,
when you called in yesterday morning, and you made one comment regarding compromise, and I asked you at the time if you felt the spirit of compromise was still active in the Senate, you were somewhat pessimistic yesterday morning. Is that still the way you feel?
Yes, in terms of when you need a 75% vote,
mm-hmm.
And Democrats say they want certain things. But it appears to me right now, and I'm not part of the behind-the-door conversation, so I'm only looking as a citizen and a legislator, so I'm there, so I have a bit more information, that the OEA plan is a bridge way too far. It is not going to happen.
Earl said the same sort of thing last week, and I used his comments over the weekend
and
last time.
And so if our Democrat colleagues have decided to hitch their wagon to that star, if that's the game they want to play, we're not going to be able to advance the ball. So that's what saddens me about this, because I had not seen that in my Senate Democrat colleagues. And so truly saddened. I'm not angry. I'm not frustrated. I'm saddened that that seems to be gone. And in fact, the minority leader put up a bill on Thursday mm-hmm. that did have something to do with increasing the pay for some sort of teacher.
That was part of the news conference that he and the pro tem had posted to the Oklahoma Senate website.
Okay, and you're keeping up with the news much better than me. I haven't read a newspaper this week. And of course, he didn't have a way to pay for it. Yeah, he did not have a way to pay for it, and he had voted against the tax package the night before, so all of us voted against his bill, even though we would love to see that increase for those teachers. That's the way the legislature works. So I've taken too much of the time. Let me turn it over to Representative Dunlap.
And I know that the legislature has flouted that August 1st deadline that was passed in 2003. They've only hit it once since that was passed in 2003. But the expectation, I think, is a little higher this year than in some other years. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Charlie. Now I have two different things I want to follow up on. That comment you just made regarding the April 1st deadline, that is something that we are now really pushing for. And it would be the second time in history that we've met the deadline that we put on ourselves.
There was a rather enthusiastic gathering in 2003 at Central Middle School that I attended at the time. It was part of the Fund Education First initiative.
Yes.
Yeah. You remember that?
Well, my family members were involved in that effort.
Yes.
So I was very familiar with that. But let me also follow up on something that the senator said. The senator talked about an increased enthusiasm for doing some spending reform measures. And so I want to report to voters, I think the most significant thing, one of the most significant things the House did this week, we did a lot, was that we accepted the Senate amendments to House Bill 1270 and passed it. And what that is the audit of the Medicaid rolls that I have been talking about for months and months and months. That was a bill that we had in the process last year. It got stalled out somehow. I don't know the whole story on that. And this year, we were able to take it back up again and finish the process. And so I urge the governor to sign that as soon as possible, because what we've seen as the precedent in other states that have done this is tremendous cost savings to the taxpayer. And so that's something that we really, really want. So hopefully that'll get signed very quickly and we'll move forward and get this budget taken care of. The other thing that the Senate has already taken some move on that I hope to see some really quick action on in the House is a cap for the tax credit that goes out to wind farms. And your audience is well informed. We've talked about that many times. Our delegation is very strong on that issue. And so those are real savings. Those are real cost-saving measures. It's not necessarily something that we can see as a line item increase in the budget, but it is something that affords us the confidence we need to prioritize the budget the way we need to prioritize it, education. So I'm a little bit surprised not to see Representative Sears here. We were there late last night working, and I actually stayed in Oklahoma City last night and drove in this morning, so I've been up for a while. And if I'm talking a little faster than normal, that's why.
Makes you sound like a morning radio personality that way with all the caffeine going on. Yeah.
And let me interject really quick.
Sure.
Representative Sears did call me. Like you, he decided to spend the night in Oklahoma City, and he was driving in this morning and said he hoped to make it in time. But that's why he's not here. He's
actually
here.
Well, there we go.
I wouldn't say speak of the devil. That would be inappropriate. Looky here.
Speak of the former Cub then. Okay.
Good morning. Since he's here, I'm going to let him talk about the pay raise plan that the House unveiled yesterday, which I'm very excited about.
Okay.
And so I'm going to let him talk about that. But before I give up the microphone, let me quickly talk about something I'll be working on this week that I think your listeners will be excited to hear about. I have the honor of carrying a piece of legislation that Senator Treat passed through the House last week.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And this is
I was going to say your name has been associated with several bills that I saw on the on the Senate agenda for yesterday. As far as the House author of a bill, as the Senate was considering yesterday. So
yes, this was actually a bill from last week, but this is an adoption protection bill, and what this will do is this will protect the involvement of private organizations in Oklahoma that facilitate adoptions. And I'm very honored to be working on it. And we're going to hopefully be working on it soon. It depends on how quickly we can publish the Senate bills that have come over to the House. But we'll be working on that soon, and I'm excited. And so basically what that'll do is it'll protect people of conscience, people who want to engage in the adoption process but have strong convictions, have a conscience matter about the way they want to do it. And so this bill will protect those organizations from being a part of it. And so I'm very honored to work on that. I'll be working on that this next week, and I'll turn it over. Oh, I do want to have the last word, though. Can I reserve that? Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Sears.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. And I'm sure they've told you. Travis and I were on the floor. I walked off at 11 o'clock and got home. I don't know if Travis drove home, but I spent the night in Oklahoma City, so I've literally just arrived in our community. Deadline week, and you've heard our stories in regards to deadline week. It just gets pretty hectic. But let me give you a quick update what's going on at the Capitol in regards to some of the plans that we're doing. Last week I reported throughout the community we didn't have a plan, and I told you that we would develop a plan. Well, there's several been developed. I'm very, very proud of the Senate. They came up with two of them. I wouldn't need to talk about it because it just really went nowhere, but at least they developed a plan. Then the second plan they developed, and they voted on that, and Julie, I may just be being redundant. You may have already told.
On that, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, but I like that plan as well, but they fell short. But the point is, we're still talking about plans. And then we unveiled one yesterday with the help of another teacher organization. It's called POE, and it's a STEP plan. And it's, quite frankly, it's got a lot of moving parts, but it's a good plan. But we start out at first, we place about $114 million in the first step, and it raises the beginning teacher from
$31,600 to $33,000.
Yeah, I think Beth Myers from Oklahoma News Network was commenting on that yesterday afternoon.
It's a tiered plan and it keeps growing.
Yeah.
And you'll hear more about it. Like I say, we just saw it yesterday about 4:30. Have no idea where the Senate's on that. But here's the problem with all that, and I don't want to throw anything too negative on it. We got to come up with the funds to fund that plan. Now, meanwhile, we have those two plans. But meanwhile, OEA has a plan that's to the tune of about $1.4 billion. I said last week, and I'll say it again today, that's too much, that's too high. We just can't reach that one. But at least OEA has a plan. And then, as you well know, the Barswell plan.
I was going to bring that up because we did broadcast that school board meeting.
Right.
And because it is a Bartlesville plan, I wanted to at least bring up the Time Is Now OK plan. And if you want to go to that website,
well,
Time Is OK.
Go there.
Or timeisnowok.com.
Correct. And that plan, I've given him a lot of credit for it. Really, all I did was gave him some numbers. But on the same token, I did support. They encourage that that's the plan. Somebody needs to come up with a plan. So there's a lot of plans out there. To say all that, to say this, I'm still confident and I'm still very optimistic that from all of these plans that are in front of us that we've talked about here, that we also know that are going to continue, I'm still confident that we will come together and avoid a walkout. And come up with a plan that works for not only the teachers of this great state, but also just other funding issues that we have before us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I just believe that we can come together and develop a plan. As I said, I personally, I'm just giving you an example. And I like the plan that was unveiled yesterday, but what I'd like to do is just go ahead and fund it the second year of it as well. This year's $114 million. The next year is $170 million. And that would give a huge salary increase to our teachers. So I'm just saying to you, there's a lot of ideas, but we still have to talk through how all this comes together, because there's no question, even to come up with, what I just said about going to the second step of this plan that was unveiled yesterday, we'd have to come up with the revenue. So still may have to raise some revenue measures. The Senate was, again, they had some, and I'm very, very proud of Senator Daniels, who has been very, very open to her district 29 in regards to what she could and would support, and she stepped up and voted for that plan. I'm very, very proud of that. And it's a compromise. That's the whole point. At least people are talking about we can make this work. But let there be no mistake. There is a limit. You know, we're not going to tax our citizens to a level that's just that's uncomfortable for everybody. So before everybody blows up and says, I want this plan and that plan, just don't give up on us yet. We're still working, and I am confident we'll come up with the plan.
School board comments several times during that meeting, reminding voters that Oklahoma is, if not the, among the toughest margins to reach in the nation as far as the legislative action to raise taxes at that three-quarters mark. And I know we reported earlier today the House did pass a moving along to a voter initiative, assuming the Senate approve it, to ask the voters to lower that margin to the same point that a school bond issue has to pass of 60% as opposed to 75%.
Yep, that's right. Can I get a last word in there?
Yep.
I'm sorry, we may be over time, but
I think, since I don't have Bruin Buzz waiting in the wings,
we have
a more flexible time.
I just think your listeners will appreciate this because of the timing of it. But Oklahoma legislators were invited to attend the world premiere of the movie I Can Only Imagine, which, of course, has its roots in Oklahoma because that's where the song was written and was also filmed in Oklahoma using the film Tax Credit.
Which is another story entirely.
Which is another story, of course. So because of that premiere and because of the power of that song, the Oklahoma House voted at the very end of the day after we finished all our business. It didn't take very long. We voted to make I Can Only Imagine the state inspirational song. And so we'll have a new category of a state song, and it's I Can Only Imagine, and it's our state inspirational song. I thought your listeners would appreciate that.
Thank you very much, one and all.
Let me say it, Phillip 66. Thank you for supporting our radio show, Charlie. Thank you for always having us.
Thank you very much. That's a Bruin Buzz on AM 1400, and we've heard from the House and Senate. Tune in again next week. We'll do it again.
At Phillips 66, we think pride might look a lot like our newly upgraded stations. Okay, that's kind of...